Good evening. It's August 13th, 2015. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. My name is Bob Lederer. I'm the chair, and I'll ask our secretary, Michael Novick, to please call the roll.
Okay. Riley Abbas, WPFW. Teresa Allen, KPFT. Jim Brown, WPFW. Maria Elena Castellanos, KPFT.
Castellanos is here.
Mm-hmm. Janet Coleman, WBAI.
Here.
Marion Douglas Ungaro, WPFW. San Luis Fuentes Roman, KPFA. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Bob Lederer, the chair, WBAI, is here. Frank Lefevre, WBAI. This is Michael Novick, the secretary, KPFK. Serene Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Nancy Sabar-Naratomi, KPFT.
Present.
Right here. Peter Tucker, WPFW.
Present.
John Wenger, KPFK.
Present.
That's nine. We have a quorum.
Thanks, great.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Great little girl.
Okay, can anyone who's having a conversation please mute? Okay, so I hope folks saw the draft agenda I sent. Actually, I sent a revised one a few minutes later because Michael reminded me that we need to catch up on approving minutes. But here's my proposed agenda, and then we can discuss it. First, a report from the National Election Supervisor on next steps in the election process with the Q&A for a total of 30 minutes. Then a report of the work group on compiling LSB membership history for 5 minutes. Then setting the next meeting date for the Elections Committee for 5 minutes. Then review and approval of minutes for 5 minutes. And then motions to amend the 2009 PNB policy regarding airtime during the campaign, which was postponed from last time, and this concerns the on-air debates, for 15 minutes. And then, in whatever time is left, discussion of any additional cost-cutting measures with a time certain adjournment at 10:30 p.m. So, actually, before we go on, would someone volunteer to keep time?
I can.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, so that's the proposal. Any discussion?
Question?
I'm sorry, was that Maria Elena?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Can we put the discussion regarding the election policy and rules first on the agenda or close to the beginning of the agenda?
Well, the issue is that our National Election Supervisor's time is limited, and she really, her window is about 10 minutes from now until probably around 9:30, 9:45. So that's not a discussion she needs to be here for. That's a policy question. And she said in the past she doesn't, you know, that's not something she needs to weigh in on. So I think we should, you know, accommodate her needs. Is there someone else who wants to speak?
Janet Kay.
Yes.
Well, I don't think 30 minutes would be enough for the NES report, but I would like her to be able to, well, stay to have that the longest amount of time, like if it could be 40 minutes, or you said she would have to leave the call by what time, 9:30?
Well, no, it's not a, you know, absolute specific moment. It's just that she has a lot to do right now, so she can't spend a lot of time on the phone with us. We can
right, but I think there are a lot of questions. Well, I have a whole bunch of questions, but in any case, there are some issues. So could we extend that to 45 minutes instead of 30 minutes, the first item?
Well, We can certainly do that if we need to. My recommendation would be that we start with 30, and this committee has always been cooperative when there are members who have pressing questions that are unresolved, so we can see if we need to extend. But in general, when you start out with a longer time, people always fill the time. But if you start out with a shorter time, it's possible we might actually get everything done. So,
point of order, I'm just saying that I have a bunch of questions. So
that's fine.
Okay.
Michael Livestack?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we should set the next meeting time while she's still on the call. So
that was my intent by putting it there. I think she'll want to hear whatever is happening with about compiling LSB membership history. She's expressed an interest in that.
Point of order,
yes.
Maria Elena, I'm completely befuddled by your response. You're saying that she does not want to hear any of our questions or discussion regarding Pacifica policy and rules involving the election? That completely...
That's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say was her time is extremely tight. She is in a very busy phase of the election. She cannot be on our entire calls. She just does not have the capacity. So, of course, she's interested, and of course she wants to know what the outcome is, but it's not a situation where she is coming in saying, I have a strong opinion about the way this should work. Therefore, as a triage situation, she's decided not to be present for that discussion. But, of course, she'll be guided by whatever the PNB decides based on our recommendation.
Well... That really, again, blows me out of the water. I'm not talking about how much time she's available for. I'm just talking about her saying she doesn't want to hear any of our discussion around key policies and rules.
I didn't say she doesn't want to hear it.
Okay.
I said she has to make choices,
Janet,
about her time.
Thank you for the answer, although it doesn't add any clarity at all.
Was that Nancy?
No, this was Maria Lynn.
Oh, hi.
Put me on the stack,
Bob, Janet.
Yeah, you're next, Janet.
See? Yeah. I feel as she does. Oh, geez. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I have to turn my attention elsewhere. I'll come back, okay?
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Who was that?
Jerome.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm looking at the agenda, and we seem to have two number fives. Sorry, just need to fix that. And as if I understand what you're saying correctly, it is not that she is indifferent to the policies that are in effect. It's simply that she doesn't need, nor do I feel she needs to sit down and listen to the back and forth for 25 minutes or whatever the course of time, you know, however much time it takes. She needs to know what the policies are. She doesn't need to know everyone's opinions on the policies.
Oops. Bob, can I get back on the stack?
Sure. Were you done, Serene?
Yeah, I can stop right there.
Okay. Go ahead, Janet.
I think that we are entitled to have an audience with this person whom we have hired. I mean, we're her employer, and she really has to report to us because ultimately we're responsible for how this process is evolving. It's our responsibility. So I don't see how she can have the time. This is the kind of time she needs to appropriate for this job. We're in this together.
Okay. Well, you know, anyone can ask Joy any relevant question, and, you know, she can answer for herself as to her opinions on the policy for on-air debates or on what her time situation is tonight and what she can stay for or not stay for. But that's what she has said, you know, on the last call when we had, the policy question about the candidate cards, that it's very important that this policy be set by the PNB, and then she will absolutely follow it. But that's a different question than hearing all the back and forth opinions about should it be this way or that way,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, that's not her concern is different people's individual opinions. Her concern is what is the collective body's decision. So is there any other comment before we vote on the agenda? Okay, hearing none. Is there any objection to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is adopted. And since Joy hasn't yet joined us, perhaps we can start with the first set of minutes, and the moment she comes on, we will switch gears to her report. So, Michael, are you ready?
Well, I sent people the minutes for this was April 27th, May 15th, June 16th, I think, July 1st, and July 30th. Of anyone that people want to approve.
Okay, so you're making a motion to approve those. Is it four or five sets?
Five sets.
Five sets of minutes. Is there any discussion?
As I said before we got on the stream, the minutes for the executive session, part of one of those meetings, are not included yet.
Right, which we could only approve at another executive session.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So any questions or comments, or are we ready to vote?
This is Siri.
Go ahead.
So, you're the hardest working secretary in America, or the second hardest working. But I have not. I saw them come in, I think it was all yesterday. We had our LSU meeting, and things were slightly crazy, and I've not had a chance.
Serene. Janet Kay.
I'm sorry, Serene, the last part of your statement got dropped off. Can you say it again?
Sorry, I was just saying I haven't had a chance to review them, so I would like to abstain.
Oh, you'd like to abstain. Okay.
All right. Several of them have been sent multiple times.
Okay, Janet Kay.
Well, I too have not had a chance to look them over thoroughly enough, so I would also abstain. And I really appreciate the work that Michael has been doing with the minutes. I apologize.
Right. No, he's done a really diligent job. Well, so what is the sentiment? Do people want to go ahead and vote with the, of course, stipulation that's always the case in Robert's Rules, that one can always move to amend later, or do people want to postpone?
Janet Kay?
Yes.
I'm going to postpone for the next meeting.
All right. Is there any discussion of whether to postpone or not? Okay, is there any objection to postponing? Okay, hearing none, then the approval of minutes are postponed, but let's really make a strong effort, everyone, to read them and then make sure that we vote next time, because we, especially in this period of the election when a lot's happening, it's good to have a public record that's clear. So what
Janet Kay, point of information.
Go ahead.
Would it be possible for them, these minutes, to be posted to the file section of the Google group, Yahoo group, I don't remember, past that, in order?
Sure.
Michael.
I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
I did send them as attachments, but actually, that was my, I have a question, which is everybody now on the Yahoo group?
No, unfortunately, there's some people that I've invited several times who have not joined yet, so I'll send out another invitation tomorrow, and I really, really would ask, please note that and respond immediately so we don't have to keep CCing individual people. Okay.
All right, if you can send me the list of who's not on it yet, then I will send them.
It's the people who are CC'd on all the last several rounds of emails.
All right.
Okay. Somewhere. All right. Is that Eljoy?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Thank you. Janet C., please mute.
Oops.
Welcome, Eljoy. Thank you for being with us tonight, and we are actually just at the point ready for your report. We've allocated half an hour for not only the report, but also the Q&A.
So all right. Well, you guys are going to have lots of questions, I'm sure,
okay.
Some of which I can answer and some of which I may not be able to at this time. So are you ready?
I have a point of procedure before we begin, please.
Okay. Go ahead, Serena.
Sorry. That there be no interruptions during the report, and that after the report is finished, that members shall take turns at 4 minutes, no more than 4 minutes apiece, before someone else on the list gets to speak.
What do you mean, four minutes for statements?
Meaning no given member in the Q&A session gets to absorb more than 4 minutes before the turn passes to another member of the committee. People can come back onto the list,
but they can't
take 15 minutes.
Right, 4 minutes of questions or comments or whatever.
And responses.
Oh, including the including Eljoy's responses, 4 minutes?
Yeah, 4 minutes per person, yeah. Because there are how many people on the call, 9 people or something?
Right. Okay, well,
so
is there any objection to that rule for tonight's meeting that we'll go in 4 minute rounds, which, you know, people can come back? Okay, hearing none, then
Maria Elena, object. I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, you object? Okay, you want to state your objection?
I think it's too rigid of a way in which to carry out the discussion. Some people will have no questions. Some people will have follow-up to their questions. That's why I object.
Okay.
This is Ian. Can I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's not rigid at all. No one is bound to use 4 minutes, but it also prevents one person from using 15 minutes while others don't get a chance to ask their questions at all. I said you can get back on for a second round. I mean, you personally, I mean, a member.
It's too rigid. There may be a line of inquiry that is pursued by one individual, which reflects the thinking of many people on the committee. So that's why I object. It's just too rigid.
Okay. Maria Elena.
So there's no way to gauge whether or not your questions answer my
question. Okay, hang on. Maria Elena, do you have another proposal how to organize the time?
Yeah, I mean, we're adults, we're committee members, very, very versed in working as a group. We're trying to pursue an agenda that has general goals, and that people keep that in mind.
Okay, so then I guess we'll just put Serene's proposal to a vote.
Well, Janet Kay?
Oh, go ahead.
So, if you, Bob, after Joy gives her initial report, ask before, you know, if one person calls out their name and then it goes to them, before that, ask who wants to be on the stack. And then people will say whatever, and then we'll see maybe from that point how much time.
I can't hear you. And from that point what?
So once we know how many people would want to be on the stack to ask questions or to address what Joy will be talking about, we'll know more about who, how many people and how long maybe it would need to take.
Well, I'll just say one quick thing, and then I really would like us to move forward. I think the reason this proposal is worth doing is just to make sure that that no one individual, no matter who they are, who has a lot of things they want to pursue, gets to pursue them in a clump before other people have had a chance to weigh in with their questions. It's not saying someone can't come back for a second 4 minutes later, but I think we need to just spread the time around so it's more equitable within the committee. So I'd like to call.
I withdraw my objection. I misunderstood the rule. I thought the rule limited people's total time to 4 minutes.
No, it does not.
I withdraw my objection.
Thank you very much. Okay, so now, is there any objection to adopting this rule for tonight's meeting? Okay, hearing none, that's adopted. And now, Eljoy, please go ahead. And folks, please hold your questions, write them down, but don't interrupt her until she's ready to take questions. Okay, floor is yours.
Great.
Thanks, everyone. So, a couple of, say, at the end of last week, I was notified via an email that there was a discussion regarding the station not being able to meet the financial obligation for the deposit and the postage necessary to proceed with the election timeline as previously presented, meaning the August 29th date by which the ballots would be in the mail and online voting would be open. From that time, you know, I asked that the executive director provide to me something in writing, just keeping in mind the legal basis for the election process, to send me something in writing concerning that fact that the stations were unable to move forward with that part of, with the financial obligation, and therefore not move forward. I have thus received, as dated today, a letter from the foundation that advises that the Pacifica is unable to move forward with the deposit required to do the mailing of the election materials for the election process. As such, this was the today by noon was the deadline by which I had to provide that information, to provide the financial deposit to the mailhouse in order for us to proceed to even meet the August 29th deadline. And obviously we have not made that, and therefore we will not be able to continue with the proposed election timeline, or with the timeline that was originally posted for the ballot mailing and the online voting beginning. From the call this morning with the GMs and the executive director and also the controller, was to give me an accurate assessment by which the stations would be able to, A, meet the deposit, or and also be able to complete the financial obligation to move forward with the election process. I will say, as I said in the email communication before, that email last week on a Friday was the first time that I had any knowledge as NES that there was even a danger that the stations would not be able to proceed with the timeline that I presented. And therefore, over the last couple of days and continuing on, have been rereading the bylaws and, you know, the procedures necessary to maintain the integrity and the fairness of the election process on how we move forward with the election. As you know, in the bylaws, the date of record is tied to the ballot mail date in the bylaws, and therefore, since we are not going to be able to meet the ballot mail date, the voter date of record will also change. What I do not believe has to change, and this is my assessment, and obviously having reread the bylaws and gone over, you know, my knowledge in terms of election procedures and also consulting with others, is that I don't believe the nomination period at all will be affected. I don't believe that needs to be, the nomination period needs to be reopened or changed, because the bylaws does not tie the nomination period to the ballot mail date. It just states that a nomination period and the timing, the how many days open the nomination period needs to be. So I do not have a specific time frame or proposal in terms of the change of the election calendar, in terms of making the ballots available and online voting available. The Pacifica and the stations individually are giving their projection, their financial projections, and the controller will then send to me a memo giving a best estimate. I'm also aware that the stations are going or have already started planning or already going through their individual fund drives as well. And so I have to be mindful and create a calendar based upon the fund drives and, you know, the availability of funds to move the process forward. Now, connected to that, which I talked about on the GM and ED call this morning, was that what it does pose is an opportunity. As you know, people can opt out of receiving the mail ballot. And so it gives us an opportunity over the next couple of weeks or whenever, you know, I should have the updated suggested calendar to move forward, to communicate to the listenership and to members, asking them to opt out of the mailing, one, to help save the station's money, and then two, just in having it aligned with the mission of Pacifica and having to reduce the amount of paper and trees that we're printing and producing into this aspect. And, you know, there's a significant financial difference between the availability of online option for the voting process versus the print mail. And just to give you an example of a station that has some of the largest members, KPFA, with 17,559 estimate on the list, just, you know, for the mailing portion, that's over, you know, that's over $17,000 for the mailing. But it's only $2,000 because it's about 12 cents for access to do an online ballot. So there's a significant amount of financial difference, and so we are proposing, both myself as NES and the LESs, that we use this opportunity to communicate to the listenership via CART, and emails, and other public information to get as many people as possible to opt out of the mail. And obviously, as you know, people have to opt out of the mail, and not the other way around. So I did bring that up on the call this morning, and the others sort of agreed, and, you know, we will do our best in communicating, you know, through CARTs. There's another CART outlining that, and others to help push for that. The stations have also turned over their email newsletter list, so those can be matched up against members and send emails asking people to do the same. It's my estimate, at least with, you know, the staff elections and at least that particular station, you should be able to, at least from the staff portion of the election, get staff to opt out of that process. And hopefully we can get a significant number of members to do so. But again, you know, Pacifica has never done that process, so, you know, it will be a test to see how well that will be able, how well we'll be able to do that. In addition, connected to that, since we will be promoting to the membership to opt out of the mail, both in my conversation and call with the LESs this afternoon, we talked about doing specific cards and videos and emails that talks about the security of the online process and assuring people the security so that people feel comfortable, you know, and understand how, you know, the count is done, how secure their vote is, how they're able to track it, to provide that information. And both the LESs and myself will be, you know, making ourselves available to talk about that on air in the cards. And all of that information, and make sure that we can educate the electorate of Pacifica about the process. So I am going to issue tomorrow, since I officially have the letter that's dated today about the inability for the station to move forward financially. I will post that on the election website and send, you know, that around and issue a statement on that, and, you know, I don't have a timeline by which, you know, I would have an updated timeline You know, obviously everybody understands the necessity to get that done as quickly as possible. So that is the update on that, and particularly for, I know for a number of you, some of you who are on the board know that that was brought up by the ED about the financial situation before. That does not, both myself and the LESs are still moving forward in terms of making sure that we have the necessary items in place to move forward with the election. In terms of the LESs have already started working with the candidates to record the carts and making themselves available to do that. We are, working on updating the programmer's guide to send to programmers for the campaign period. That would include, hopefully, the finalized language on the cart rotation and on their forms. We have already began to see, one or two, not too many yet, fair campaign violation reports given. There's a form. The form is on the website as well as an online form, and people have already begun to use it. So that LESs are reviewing that information and issuing, we've discussed some of them on our call, our weekly call today. So we're moving forward in that aspect, and also trying to think a little bit outside the box in terms of other ways that we can help promote the election and move the election process forward. There have been some complaints or appeals regarding the candidates, and those were taken on. I have received them. The LESs have given me, or some people have reached out specifically in regarding that process in reviewing that. At this time, I don't have any changes to the approved or confirmed candidate list. But as you know, I put everything in writing, regarding the election process. So as we have that information, that'll be certainly shared. And then I think that is it for an update so far. So I will end that because I'm sure everyone has a lot of questions, particularly about the first part.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Are there questions? And Nancy, please remember it's 4 minutes per exchange per member. So that includes the question and the answer. Okay? Nancy, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, who has questions for L. Joy?
Janet Kay.
Go ahead.
Okay, first, will online registered voters be able to start voting before anybody who would opt to vote by mail?
No, it's the coordination. So, for instance, the date with that was previously August 29th, online voting would begin on August 29th, and the mail date was actually about 2 to 4 days before August 29th, with the expectation that it would hit mailboxes on August 29th. So okay. That's the way that it was timed.
Thank you. Then the candidates were given the opportunity to amend their statements. And at least with KPFA, the deadline was last Sunday, but the amended statements have not been posted to the election website. Can you tell us when that would happen?
Sure. As you can imagine, just at one particular station, there is 49 listener candidates. So keeping in mind the amount of changes and work that is necessary for both majority myself, because I maintain the elections website, and for the LESs that are assisting in that process, in addition to all of the other items. So, we've been working on it every day. We send to candidates when their information is updated, but, please keep in mind the amount of changes necessary, for instance, on KPFK, which has the largest amount of listener candidates of 49. All 49 candidates updated their statements. So just keep in mind. So, you know, we're doing the best and working as fast as we can. And keep in mind that I also had to reroute my energies on another issue that I mentioned in the beginning. So we're doing the best we can to move forward.
Okay. And then how is the order of candidates listed on the election website determined?
It's random.
Okay. And then at KPFA, the membership, specifically the staff membership, is way higher than it was in 2012, and it doesn't seem to, I'm just wondering what made up that change in number. It doesn't seem to make
That's
sense.
Not a question I can answer. You know, that would be a question that you should take, you know, directly to the state. I only receive the information in terms of someone who's given me these are the approved, you know, sort of staff list. That would be a question that would need to go to the station.
And you received the numbers from at KPFA from whom?
I'm sorry?
Who at KPFA did you receive the numbers from?
At each of the stations, I receive a list from the general manager.
Okay.
If they pass someone specifically to, you know, do the list, that was from there.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. I'd like to get back on the stack
okay.
after.
Okay. You'll have an opportunity.
Okay.
Other questions from other members?
Maria Elena on the set.
Go ahead.
I joined. Have you considered... actually having a specific voting period that is designated after all of the candidates have had at least...
I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you.
Well, I'm trying to speak as loud. It might be my phone. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay. Have you considered moving the specific voting period to after... all of the candidates have had at least one opportunity to play their part instead of starting the specific voting period of balloting before the first cart playing? Do you understand my question?
I do not. I'm sorry.
I'll repeat it. Have you considered moving the specific balloting period, for instance, instead of having people vote either online or have their votes in hand before the cards are played, instead consider moving that balloting period to after all of the candidates have had an opportunity to play their card at least once?
That has not been a consideration of mine. The consideration of moving the ballot date is based upon the funding necessary. So I'm going to, based upon the funding availability, the timing of the mail house, at this point, this wasn't before, but at this point, it, you know, does Pacifica have the money to make the deposit to move forward? Keeping in mind the different calendar of the fund drives, which the election cards are reduced or not at all, and then the availability of the mail house to actually get the materials out in a timely fashion. So we're already moving forward with the candidates are recording cards, and we're going to, once, you know, we have, you know, the cards for, we'll continue with the campaigning period. What this does is just extend the campaigning period. From that. So I'm not basing that decision based upon the number of cards being played.
Okay. Other members? Any other members have questions who haven't spoken yet?
Yes.
Is that Serene?
Yes. Yeah, sorry. Thanks.
Okay. Can you speak a little louder, please?
Okay. Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the report, Ms. Williams. I have a question. When you say that you are extending the record date, is that correct? But the nomination period remains unchanged?
The nomination period remains unchanged. The bylaws tie the ballot date, the ballot mail date, and the voter date of record together. It says it's within 45 to 60, if I'm not mistaken, or
right,
55
right. 45 to 60. Yeah.
Yes, 45 to 60 days from the ballot mail date.
Right. So you're only extending the record date, everything else, the record date and the mailing date?
Correct.
Okay. When do you anticipate the online voting could begin? How soon?
It will begin. It will be the same process that the ballot mail date, meaning the mailbox date, and the online voting opening will be the same time. There will not be a before. So the same time, if we say that the ballot mail date is going to now be September 20th, then the mail will be, the ballots will be put in the mail to arrive in people's mailboxes by September 20th, and the online voting will begin September 20th. It will be
okay,
the same time.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay, any other member who hasn't spoken?
Michael through the stack.
Go ahead.
I'm the treasurer of the KPFK local station, but I'm on the National Finance Committee, and the stations are in different financial situations. They're all in difficult financial situations of one kind or another. I'm wondering what will happen if some stations are able to pay and others aren't. Is there any possibility of separating the mailing or doing it partially, or is that too complicated?
One, that's not cost effective from the mailhouse estimate at this point. And two, that would just be a logistical nightmare from the elections process.
Sure.
So we're going to do our best to, you know, keep it at a synchronized time. I just think it would be overall confusing and moving forward and just be a difficult thing to manage.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else who hasn't spoken?
Yeah, John Winger.
Go ahead.
I completely understand Joy's response, but I wonder what her plan is. Let's suppose that KPFK, which has not had an election for many years, can pay for the postage, and some other station cannot. I would hate to, I guess what I'm saying is, please be mindful of the possibility that some other station could prevent KPFK from ever having an election just because the other station couldn't pay for their postage. So I just would urge a flexible stance, you know, that takes into account the conditions. So that's my comment.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. Any other members? Okay. Anyone?
Well, Michael, to the stack.
Well,
well,
Janet Kay, I had asked.
Janet had asked first, and then we'll come back to Michael.
Right.
Go ahead, Janet.
Okay. So it's my understanding that at each station or different stations, the potential candidates with their packages were treated differently, or they weren't all treated the same when it came to, like, technical issues. For example, a candidate might not have had enough signatures. So at one station, the LES might have helped on the last day or whatever for that candidate to get signatures, not necessarily just that candidate, but just that process, whereas at other stations that was not necessarily the case. So that's just an example, and it seems like that was not dealt with fairly, and we want to avoid any lawsuits. So I'm wondering whether, given this delay and the record date changing, whether there would be a possibility that for those who, those potential candidates who weren't able to be eligible because of these technical issues, might they be given some kind of chance, you know, another chance?
So my response to that is, you know, we both, myself and the LESs, have very clear and frequent conversations and calls about synchronizing how that process was done. My estimation and our estimation is that anything related to signatures in the gate, that is not a technical issue. We were very hard and fast that if you did not have the amount of signatures and it was after the deadline, that there was no garnering of additional signatures after the deadline period. That's different in that you have a signature and we needed to verify someone's membership who signed your petition. That's a different, that was a different scenario, but there was no additional signatures added to anyone's packages after the deadline.
Okay,
none.
But that's
there
what
was
I meant.
A difference. That was very clear. The LESs knew that very clearly. It was something we discussed very clearly multiple days during the end of the nomination period. Now, what did happen is that if we went through the passing of information and we realized they had the signatures, they were confirmed, we had their affirmation statement, it was just either we couldn't download their cover page or it was missing in the documents or they thought they had attachment and things like that, then we provided time for them to send us and gave them a specific time, whether it was 24 hours or 48 hours to do that. Or we had one individual who did not, that I remember, I think it was more than this, that did not have access to print the cover sheet but had all of their information or mailed it, you know, they provided, you know, opportunity for people to do that. But we absolutely did not do that for signatures because we were, you know, we made that a hard and fast that that would not be fair for anyone across the board. So I wouldn't classify that as a technical issue.
Well, what the better example was verifying a signature as a member. And if you were not able to do that at the time, if between then and the new record date or whatever, you could verify. Say if there was one signature on one candidate's nomination package that you couldn't verify, and that meant that they weren't eligible. If subsequent to that you were able to verify, would that possibly be taken into consideration?
I'm sorry. For now, no. You know, the nomination period is over. We did provide, remember, we did the verification process, I believe it was like a week and a half or 2 weeks. So we provided, you know, and it was something that I told LES is that our job wasn't to disqualify people. It was to make sure that people followed the rules and had the adequate amount of materials to move forward as candidates. So it's not as if we were looking to reduce the amount of candidates or kick people off the ballot. You know, we were providing ample time and ample opportunity for people to move forward. So if there was a situation where we saw a listener candidate, we could validate 14 signatures, but they had signatures from six other people that we couldn't validate, then yes, we sent an email to the people that signed and said, do you have any information regarding your membership that would valid, you know, that would validate your signature? And that is the process that we followed and gave to everyone.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so we're at time on this, so we're going to move forward on the agenda. Joy, if you could stay with us a little bit longer, we want to talk about the process of compiling the LSB membership history, which I know you've been very interested in, and then we want to set a date for the next meeting at a time that you can attend. So let's move to that report. Serene? 5 minutes, Nancy, on this item.
Yes. Okay, I don't even know if we'll need that much. I have sent to the NES list individual lists for each of the five stations, showing the status of each present delegate, including when they were seated, what personal year, looking at the time limit, what personal year they will be in December 2015, in most cases whose term they inherited, or in the event that they were directly elected onto the board, when that happened. That's it.
Okay. Any questions for Serene?
Well, Janet Kay, I just wanted to make a comment, may I?
Go ahead.
So I had also sent the documents for the LSB rosters to the NES. And so I'm wondering if there are any differences or between the two.
Yeah, there are differences, and as I told you at the last meeting, I'll be sure to provide you with them. There are a whole bunch of people that you had being seated in December 2014 with personal years expiring in 2020, and at least in the case of New York, those
people
were actually seated in December 2010 with their, and they must run this year if they want to continue, and their personal six-year max will be reached in December 2016. And I believe that error was it was over BAI's the one you sent to BAI, and I believe it was repeated in other stations. Anyway, at any rate, once I realized how severe they were at BAI, I reconstructed them for each station. And when I try to open yours, it crashes my computer anyway. But
Somebody please mute.
I couldn't follow almost anything that was said. I'm trying to take notes on it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Somebody please mute.
Yeah, everyone who's not speaking, please mute. And maybe, Serene, you could speak a little louder and just give a quick what you said.
Okay. What I provided the... actually, Michael, I think I sent you a copy of the KPFK one. What I did was for each person who is currently, each delegate, each of the 24, 25 in the case of KPFA, I sent their name, their class, the date they were elected, the last onto the board for those who were directly elected, for those who inherited seats. I put when they were seated and who, in fact, they replaced and what their term ending date, according to the original rules, which would have been, 2013. For the 2010 for the people elected in 2010, and will be 2016 essentially for the people who were elected in 2012, because we're going to do this, make sure that the whole board doesn't turn over. So it's on paper it's 2015, but it will in actuality be 2016 for the 2010 people. On paper it's 2013, but in actuality we know they're still on, so it's 2015, and that was done for each of the stations. I found it necessary to go back through, and I thank Janet for her work. It's a lot of work. It's, as I said, it's a project that I started a long time ago. But there were significant errors in the information that was forwarded for BAI, where at least two people, and there were more actually, but at least two people who were elected in 2010 and will have reached their five years of service, continuous service, in December, were shown as having been seated in December 2014 and reaching their personal years in 2020. And I believe that error was replicated in other stations. So I redid the whole batch, and I've sent them to the election supervisor.
Janet Kay, point of personal privilege.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I hear that errors were noticed according to Serene, and so being responsible as CNB secretary for these membership lists, I would like to request that Serene send this information to me, secretary@pacifica.org. And that's one. Two, I'd like to know from the NES which, what lists is she using to determine this matter?
Can I answer that?
Yes, please.
I am so very confused by even both lists, both information that was sent to me. I guess, you know, it's also being able to sit down and look at them and compare them and, you know, just give. I understand and I appreciate the detail of when and who. I thought I was just going to get a simple, like, these names are up or these seats were up, but I guess the you guys are asking me to do that. Is that the question?
No, my question is, you have received some lists, some rosters from me as PNB secretary. You have received some rosters from Serene as part of this committee, and Serene is saying they're different because I haven't seen hers. So you have two different sets of rosters. Which one, you know, how are you going to determine, or which one are you going to use?
Time. May I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead, Serene.
Okay. So, you know, we can begin because Janet sent these lists to 120-plus people. So anyone who has a copy, for example, of the BAI list, the last one was distributed sometime in late July. You can go in and look at John Brinkley, for example, and Carolyn Burton. They're at the top of the list, and that's why those are the two examples I'll use. They're noted as having been seated in 2014. These people ran for election in 2010. Their personal six-year max is December 2016. You know, I don't even understand how this is. Okay, first, I think it's being mischaracterized, and I don't understand how.
Just send it to me, please.
Let me
Thank
speak.
You.
Let me speak. This is not a point of personal privilege because there's nothing personal about this. It is the role of the secretary to maintain the records. She can't create the records, and if she attempts to create the records and does so incorrectly, and I will point out the whole motivation for preparing these lists, which are not required by the bylaws, the whole point of preparing it was so that there would be a simple guide, and I say simple in quotes because it only is simple to you if you've got a governance head and you've been living in this stuff for a while. The point of it came out of this committee that that's what we wanted to prepare. We agree on a work group that would have included the secretary as a matter of course because she's a member of this committee. She insisted that it needed to include her under a different title. We agreed to wait for her to send us the draft that she said she had. You know, we went through this at the last meeting. We don't have to go through this at every meeting, but let's also try to be accurate when we represent what has happened.
Okay, we're
past
time.
The point of personal privilege.
Okay,
hang on.
We're past time, so if we're going to continue this conversation, we need to agree on an amount of time. So,
but I have a point of personal privilege, so.
Okay, very briefly.
Yes, so the committee member was claiming that I created a set of data, and apparently she created another set of data. So it's like this has been something that has been an issue over time, and so it's not a matter of the secretary being wrong and this one being right or whatever. We need to just compare them. And there needs to be some way to resolve this. I'll stop there.
Okay, so is there anyone who wants us to extend time, or can we move on with our other items?
Let's go.
Okay, hearing none, then we'll move on. Okay, so next is the setting of the date for our next meeting. So who would like to propose an interval? Would it be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? What proposal?
I would appreciate it if we don't keep doing it every other week, because I have face-to-face meetings every other Thursday, and they've been matching up. So if we're doing it on Thursdays, every other Thursday like this is bad for me.
Okay. Do you have a suggestion?
Well, The first Thursday is probably not used by the PNB, so don't choose that.
Friday?
Well, September 17th was going to be the PNB bylaws vote, but that has changed, so that date, that's a Thursday, is available.
I don't think that much.
Monday the 31st is available on the KPFTX calendar.
Okay, that's just a little more than 2 weeks from now. I thought that was difficult for you, Michael.
No, it's difficult. It's only every other Thursday because every other Thursday corresponds to the schedule of my Thursday meetings.
I'm
not questioning how soon it is. It's
okay, I understand now. Okay, so that's one proposal. It's Monday, August 31st. Are there any other proposals?
Does that work for Joy?
Yeah, let's ask Gail Joy. Are you available on Monday, August 31st?
1 second, let's see. I'll be traveling, but I can call, yeah.
Okay. All right, is there anyone who is unavailable that night? All right. Well, then, is there any objection to setting our meeting date, our next meeting, as Monday, August 31st? Okay. Hearing none, then that's our next meeting. Okay. Aljoy, did you have any final words for us, or have you said it all?
I'm interested to know, just for clarification purposes, as you guys CC and, send me information about motions that have been approved or are pending, everything from cards to information, it sometimes is unclear as to whether this is something recommended or that was actually passed and this is now rule. And Pacifica loves words. You guys really, really love words. You use so many of them. And so sometimes it can be a little confusing trying to, just to give you an example, myself and the LESs on our call spent significant time trying to interpret the CART playing announcement one as well. So to the point that you can actually be as clear as possible and say that this is a recommendation or that this was passed and this is, now rule, that would be extremely helpful. The second item, just on the number of, the seats available, I still don't have a clear item on this, and particularly because I'm also now dealing with the having to do the interpretation of the delayed election. It is my understanding that you're asking me to put out these are the specific seats that are available, that are up for election. And having to interpret between the two documents, I need final information and correct information in order to make that determination. I still hold that this should not be and then yes, it's responsibility, but since we are here at this point, that's fine with doing that as long as I have accurate information. And then lastly, as a workaholic, I am supposed to be on vacation next week. I will still have access to emails, but I'm trying to limit myself to only up to 11 a.m. or noon every day. So if it's something important, please indicate that it's important and immediate. Otherwise, I'll just see your email and respond accordingly. And then just a point of personal privilege or however it's termed, if you watch any of the Sunday morning shows, I'm going to be on MSNBC for Up With Steve Kornacki on Sunday morning. So you can, if you happen to be up that early, you can watch it.
Congratulations. Okay. Well, I just want to address your first point. I will certainly try to be clear in the future when I forward you motions from this committee. But I can tell you as an absolute rule that there is never anything that this committee passes that is policy. It is always a recommendation to the Pacifica National Board. So just, you know, you can always bear that in mind, that it's not final till it's acted on, which actually gives rise to a question, because I know you're trying to address the CART situation, getting them recorded, but you, there is no revised policy in place yet because the Pacifica, the PNB did not get to it at their meeting last week. And I'm wondering, is there any PNB member on this call now who knows when the next PNB meeting is scheduled for or might be scheduled for?
No.
Bob, it's Pete Tucker, but I can't recall off the top of my head when the next PNB meeting is.
All right. Well, if nobody knows tonight, let me ask.
I suspect it will just. You should ask Lydia, but I think it will just be the first weekend in September. Well, the first Thursday in September.
Okay.
It won't be. But anyway.
Right. So.
Talk to Lydia.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted when Eljoy, when we know what that date is, and that would be hopefully. Of course, there's no guarantees with this, but hopefully that would be a date where they would make the decision on that motion we sent you, which is our recommended requirement for how many cards need to be played. So for now, unfortunately, it's still unresolved.
Marie-Lynn Amistad.
Is this for Eljoy?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, what regards the policy?
You're muffled. Can you correct your phone?
Question regards the playing of the carts. If you have articulated in the policies and implementation of the playing of the carts in a fair way so that an equal amount of airtime during drive time is given to each candidate. Is that included in the policy and rules?
Well, that's a question for us, not for Eljoy. You presumably have seen the policy that the recommended policy that we passed at our last meeting. Is it addressed equity in times of day? You may want to go back and reread that.
Okay.
Posted that right after I think Michael posted it a couple days after our last meeting.
Okay. I'll review that. Thank you.
Okay.